So the point I want to make today is this. Let me start by reading Luke chapter 19, 1 through 10. That's what I intended to do, just start with a scripture. So let me go ahead and do that. Time to believe in others. Time to believe in others. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. We all heard this in our Sunday school, remember? Which was, he was the chief among publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was of little stature. He was small. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw him, and he said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste, and he came down, and he received him with joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. What a beautiful story. We all know it from Sunday school class, but the point I want to make today is it's time to believe in others, but the point is not about others, actually. It is about you being great. Although we are talking about, because the Bible says for us to love others and to believe in others. And that's what the Bible tells us to do. This is about you. This is about you putting yourself in a position to be great in His kingdom. And last week we talked about believe in yourself, believe in you, because God believes in you. You are destined to be great. It's time to realize your full potential. And that was last week. This week's sermon is titled, It's Time to Believe in Others. It's time to believe in others. And even though the sermon title sounds like I want you to focus on other people, which is biblical, love your neighbor, etc., etc., actually the sermon is about you reaching greatness, you reaching your full potential, you accessing the gems that are in this word and living by them. How is that? Look at it this way. When you believe that other people around you have the possibility of reaching their full potential in Christ, and you believe in them, you are sowing something that the Bible says you are sowing something, and when you sow, you will reap. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 through 9. Because the Bible says, you will reap what you sow. The first underline in your little handout, we hit that. You can write in there, sow. For those of you that don't know how to spell, that's not S-E-W. It's S-O-W. The Bible says you will reap what you sow. Let's read it in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, thou shalt he also reap. Verse 8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap the everlasting. And I love verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. That's so true, so true. Do not get tired of doing what is right. Basically, do not get tired of living by this word and doing the word of God and living it. In due time, you will reap what you sow. So the Bible says you will reap what you sow. And what does the Bible say about believing in others or your actions towards others? How should we go about this? And I wrote down a few scriptures in your notes there. And Philippians chapter 2 verse 4. The Bible says, do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interest of others. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the thing of others. That's the King James, and this is either the NIV or some other version. But it's clear in God's word that we're not just supposed to look at our own affairs. We're supposed to look of the affairs of others and be attentive of others. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. It talks about bearing one another's burdens and thereby fulfilling the law of Christ. So when you bear others' burdens, when you help others during their trials, and thereby you will fulfill the law of Christ. So it is God's will that you help others, that you believe in others, that you're there for them. In Romans chapter 12, verse 10, the Bible talks about be devoted to one another in brotherly love, give preference to one another in honor. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, the Bible says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, the Bible says, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you also are doing. In Colossians 3:12, the last one in your handout there, in this list. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on the heart of compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. So, when you believe in somebody, see, if you wouldn't bother with any of this if you didn't believe in someone, in another people. Why would you bother to do something if you didn't believe in them? It'd be a waste of time. But when God puts that in our hearts, to love and to believe in others, He tells us to do these things so that they can be impacted. See, all of these things are how we should treat our neighbor, how we should lift each other up and encourage each other. But believing and caring for others is not part of our sinful nature. The next underline in your handout. Believing and caring for others is not part of our sinful, and that's the underline, right? Sinful human nature. This is very important. In order to believe in others, you have to want the best for them, right? In order to believe, to serve, to care for others, you got to want the best for them. And that's the next underline, best. You got to want the best for them. And in order to want the best for them, you have to love them, right? You following along? L, love. In order to believe in others, you have to want the best for them. And in order to want the best for them, you have to love them. Let's read Luke chapter 6, verse 27. Jesus says this, but I say unto you which hear me, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away the cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. For if you love them which love you, what thank have ye? For even sinners love those who love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much gain. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father is also merciful. There's a lot here that we need to just kind of absorb for a second. The ability to believe in others begins with love. That's your next underline. The ability to believe in others, it begins with love. And this kind of love comes supernaturally by the Holy Spirit. You see, in this story, or in this section where Jesus says, love your enemies, he talks about it there in verse 20, 32 and 33, where he says, look, loving those who love you is not extraordinary. Sinners do that. Right? We read that. Even sinners love those, and those who family or those who love around you, sinners do that. That's not extraordinary that you love your family. That's not supernatural. But what is supernatural is to love your enemies. What is supernatural is to love those that are not easy to love. To believe in people when you don't want to believe in them in your sinful nature. The ability to believe in others begins with love, and this kind of love comes from supernatural. Comes supernaturally by the Holy Spirit. Let's go to Romans 5, verse 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. There's a scripture there that tells you a little bit about this love that comes into our heart. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. This love, agape love, this love that comes from God, comes via the Holy Spirit in our lives. So in order to believe in others and to love in others, what I'm trying to say is that that just doesn't happen like it does for your caring for your children or for your family. This is supernatural love that comes from the power of the Holy Spirit. The same power that rolled the stone away, the same power that rose Jesus from the dead, the same power that Jesus had to say, Lazarus, come forth out of the grave. That power of the Holy Spirit is needed to believe in others, to love others, to really want the best for others, even your enemies. Jesus is very clear about his teachings, right? To love your enemies, to love the unlovable, to care, to serve. And we read many scriptures there about encouraging each other. And don't only look at your own affairs, but look at those interests of others. The scriptures are there. So in order to believe in others, you have to want the best for them. In order to want the best for them, you have to love them. And I'm not talking about the kind of love that you naturally have for family and close friends, but Jesus talks about loving your enemies and loving those that are not easy to love. So the ability to believe in others begins with love. And this kind of love is supernatural. You know, love is also one of the fruits of the Spirit, right? Fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, meekness, long-suffering. If you notice in those gifts of the Spirit, there's a lot of words there that are describing how you have to be patient, meek, right? Tender-hearted, kind. A lot of them deal with how you deal with others. Right? That's an interesting thing about the gifts of the Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit. Let me not get them confused, right? There's gifts, there's fruits. The fruits of the Spirit are basically what's supposed to produce out of you when the Holy Spirit is taking over your life. Right? When you surrender and you let Jesus drive, what's supposed to happen, and the evidence should be this. So if it's not, you got to ask yourself, have I let the Holy Spirit take over? What should be growing and producing in your life are those nine fruits. Love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, kindness, meekness. You know, I think I got six out of the nine. Maybe someone can get the others. But those things should be growing supernaturally in you as you grow in the Lord. Just believing in others, when the Holy Spirit begins to empower you, you will have a desire to believe in others. You'll have a desire that when you see that person that nobody thinks has a chance, they have tattoos, or they're doing this, or they're doing that, and the world and the Christian community looks down upon them, and you go and say, I believe in you with the power of the Holy Spirit. That's power. That begins to change circumstances. And that person just needed someone to believe in them. And that's why we started with the Zacchaeus story. Jesus believed in a man that everyone thought was hopeless, cheater, sinner. And Jesus took the time to believe in him. And what happened was, Zacchaeus, he had put himself in a position through lying and cheating and taking advantage of people and stealing their money and lying to them about their money so he could get more. He spent his life doing this, and he was rich for doing this. And he got away with it. He was the tax collector, right? Nobody believed him. Everyone knew he was a cheater. That's why they said, Jesus, why are you going to the house of a sinner? Everybody knows he's a sinner. And Jesus believed in him. And we know the story. He comes out of that dinner and says, I'm done. You believed in me? No one else has believed in me. Not even the government I work for believes in me. They just want their money. Not even the people I'm working for to collect taxes believe in me. And Jesus, you came to my house and honored me. You are a great prophet, as they thought, right? And Jesus says, you got it. I believe in you. You understand? And his heart melted so much that the Holy Spirit probably just revealed to him, I got to set things right in my life because this Messiah believes in me. And he says, I'm going to give back whatever I stole fourfold. I'm going to return whatever I've taken from people. And Jesus said, wow, you know, salvation has come to this house. You see, believing in people, great things happen when you believe in people. Right? Now, not every single person you believe in is going to come through. But that is not the point. Right? One of the things I had to learn in being in a Christian and being a youth leader and an assistant pastor and a pastor is you cannot be afraid of rejection or of people not following through, or you just move on. You just go. You just keep on believing in the next person and the next person and the next person. But out of that comes some treasures. Beautiful treasures. See, God says that we plant and we water, but the increase comes only by the Holy Spirit doing the transformation. Amen? There's no powerful words you can come up with on your own. But when you have the Holy Spirit in your life and you begin to believe in others, it can change a life. It changed my life. It's changed your life. So if Jesus believed in Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus repented, when the Holy Spirit, when you allow the Holy Spirit, that's the last line, the last two lines there, in the fill in the blanks. When you believe, when you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you into righteousness, you will produce love for others. Right? When you allow the Holy Spirit to take over, the fruit of love will begin to manifest. The fruit of patience and meekness and kindness and temperance will begin to manifest. Which ones did I miss, Demasio? Oh, were you quoted? Self-control. Yes. Very good. What happens? What happens when you love, and when you love and you believe in others? Let's read Luke chapter 6, 35. We were just there. Let's go back and focus on this one scripture. What begins to happen? What begins to happen when you allow the Holy Spirit to fill you for love for others? See, remember, we're not talking about love of those that are easy to love or that are part. We're talking about people that you have no reason to care for or no reason to go an extra step for. Those people that are around you, that you encounter, that if you went up to them and said, "Hey, I'm going to pray for you," or, "Hey, I see you need help here, I'll help you," or whatever the case may be. Let's read verse 35. What happens when you begin to activate this in your life? "But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing." Right? That's what sometimes I say this, and this is kind of what I mean, or it is what I mean. When we go out and serve the community with the food bank or the Colonia ministry, when we go out there to just serve, we really, with the heart, expecting nothing from them in return. Right? So I've said that before where I said, go and serve expecting nothing in return. And what I mean by that is nothing from the people that we serve. And it says it right here. Go and lend, hoping for nothing. Wow, this is hard for human beings, right? If I'm going to spend time, I want something in return. See, but Jesus came, left heaven, and died for us, knowing that many people would not follow him, that would reject him. And he did it anyway. Because of love. So he says, hoping for nothing, and your reward shall be great. This is where it all comes together. This sermon was really not about others. It was really about you being great for his kingdom. See, there's a gem there. There's a treasure in that thought, that if we can live this way, if we can take what we're hearing and apply it to our life, the next person you see just caring, believing in them, giving them an encouraging word, let the Holy Spirit guide you. The next time you're in a situation where you can believe in somebody, think of it differently, right? Think of it as it's what happens when you begin to grow in the Lord. It's what happens when you begin to live for Him and to surrender to Him. And it's what happens when you become a great man or woman of God. So it says in verse 35 that your reward will be great, and ye shall be children of the Highest. For He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. So what happens when you begin to believe and to love others? Today we've come across this great gem, this truth. And there are many gems and treasures in God's Word. And if we learn to apply them to our lives, you will be a great man or woman of God. And your reward will be great. It's time to believe. It's time to believe that you are destined for greatness and for a destiny that is beyond our understanding. Do not doubt that God has a beautiful, beautiful, powerful, impactful, intentional plan for your life. And He wants you to share it with others. Believe in others. It's time to believe. First, we believed in ourselves last week that you are destined to do great things for God. Secondly, believe and love others because God's Word promises you will be great and receive a great reward, as we read in Luke 6:35. And in Matthew 20, verse 26 and 27, Jesus says, if you want to be great in My kingdom, you got to serve, right? And minister. And minister doesn't mean be a pastor, right? Minister is what? Service. Minister to others. Serve others. Although this sermon was about believing in others, the point is all about you being great for God's kingdom. It is time to believe that you and I are on a journey for great things. We have all these visions and plans. God, we want to impact the community. We just want to have the resources, the laborers, to just, when we get stuff at the food bank, to go deliver vegetables that if we don't deliver them in 2 days, they go rotten. So we want to get them out to the community. What we're believing one day, we're just going to have all the laborers ready to go, hey, we got another shipment. Okay, go do it. Go, come back, done. One day, we're going to have an operation where we're going to be able to, I believe in my heart, just bless people abundantly, expecting nothing in return, but actually knowing that greatness is ahead. Got it? I don't know about you, but you know, I don't know if it's soon or... So God's building something, and many of you are going to be part of executing this greatness into the community and shining the light of love, the love of Jesus to the world. We already have a little colonia we've adopted, and they know we want nothing but the best for them. I know they know that. We're not asking them for anything in return. We just go, feed them the word as we're doing now, or we go, feed them food, feed them this, give kids shoes and backpacks, and we just love them. We don't want to expect anything in return. We don't even necessarily ask them. We don't ask them to come to church. But I believe that that's just one. There's many areas. I can see it, is what I'm trying to tell you. I don't want to get sidetracked from the point. But there's something there that takes laborers to make it happen. And I don't know where it's all going to go or how it's all going to come together. But if we believe in ourselves and believe in others, because it wouldn't be worth it if we didn't believe that people that we help are feeling the love of God. Right? Wouldn't it be worth it? That's what our goal is. We want them to see Jesus in us, because they're not going to see it on TV. They're not going to see it on the internet, on their games. We may be the only time they see Jesus. It's about you being great. Serve others. Know this, that this is true, and proceed living your life like great men and women of God do. Do the little things well. So I want to end with this. Great men and women, what do they look like? What actions do they take? And I want to just keep building on this, because you gotta, if you're going to be great, these are the things that start happening in your life. And what I mean by great, again, doesn't mean great that you're awesome, right? Not that kind of great. Talking about being in God's will. Because you will make an impact for God's kingdom in a powerful way. That's what I mean. Making an impact. Doing great things for the kingdom. That's what we mean. And what does it look like? We talked about this last week, and I just added the one more. Church, we have to get it into our spirits, into our daily lives, just like you drink water and you eat food. We got to get it in there. You got to read your Bible. You can't depend on the pastor every Sunday to feed you only. If everyone in this place was doing these things, you would feel, and I don't mean to step on people's toes, but when worship, and you would feel the power and presence of God deep and heavy when all of us are doing these things out of love for Christ, out of love for God. It's the truth. Sometimes when worship doesn't go as oh, that was okay, or, you know, sometimes you may judge it or whatever. It really, the leader is important. They have to be, you know, doing their own reading and praying and all that. But it's not just that. When we begin to do that as a worship team or as a congregation, you will feel His presence and His love in a powerful way. When you start feeling less of that in this place, it's because people, sometimes in the worship team or sometimes in the congregation, we're not doing great things. We're not doing these little things that are great. So together, if we begin to read our Bible every day and we begin to pray every day without fail, and we attend church faithfully, like many of you do, and be faithful in your tithes and your offerings, as the Bible teaches us. You know, in this church, we don't spend a whole lot of time trying to get you to put your money in the offering, but because we don't do that, I heard some churches spend a lot of time on that. I don't know that, because I have only been in this church since I was 6 years old, so I don't really know. But that's what I hear. It doesn't mean that this isn't true and that we don't believe it, right? It's absolutely true. You cannot outgive God. It's important to be givers and trust God that He will give you, He will return to you more than you could ever give in faithfulness in your tithes and offerings. So great men and women understand that principle. They don't have to I can't, because they figure it out, right? And the last thing, believe in others by giving an encouraging word, praying for others, serving others. Start getting yourself in situations. Great women and men of God get themselves in situations where they can impact others. Right? Will impact others. So whether that's the outreaches to the community, you know, pretty soon hopefully we'll have some turkeys to go give away for Thanksgiving, and then we'll have some toys. And then we'll have many things. We have the food bank. There's opportunities to serve, right? But it may not be that. It may be something else for you. But pray about those things and ask God about those things. Do the little things well. It's time to believe. It's time to believe. Let's all stand. In closing, we're going to pray and I just want to encourage you so much to take these notes, and you know, before you go to bed on Sunday, you know, look at what spoke to you, and be great. Believe in yourself. Believe in yourself. And when you believe in yourself, you'll start believing in others. And God's got a great plan for this. I call it little church, but it really isn't. You know, there's not a lot of churches who do what we do. We're little in the sense if people are counting numbers, but we're not little in the impact to the community around us. That's awesome. I mean, that's really what it's. Our founder, Amy Simple McPherson, in the 1920s, that's what she did. She impacted the community of Los Angeles. They called it soup kitchens back then, and they gave out food, and they took care of the people. And she said that they didn't have the money to build Angelus Temple, that's still there in Los Angeles, but they had enough money to build to dig the hole. So she says, Lord, I'm going to dig the hole, and you're going to have to fill it. And it's there today. It's time to believe. Heavenly Father, we believe. We'll believe if we just have enough to dig the hole, we'll dig the hole and believe that you will fill it. We believe, I believe in the people in this church. I believe that each week, and we may not even know yet what it is vividly, but we know we can take care of things day by day, the little things. We can be reading our Bibles and praying and seeking you and being faithful in the little things. And then when the time comes, we will be filled with your Holy Spirit, ready to act into greatness. And Lord, just seal that in our hearts. We're not satisfied with ordinary. We just don't want to come in on Sunday and have a time and leave and just forget about you the rest of the week. Lord, we don't want to be lukewarm. We want all that you have for us, Lord. It's time for us to believe. To believe that you're going to use us for some tremendous things. And each one of us in our individual gifts and talents, you will use us to believe in others. You will use us to help. You will use us for people to find you, for salvations, for people to be delivered, for healings to take place. Oh Lord, we believe. And every Tuesday we just come here and 1 hour we just pray, and it's just a few of us, and that's not, it doesn't matter how many. Lord, we just know that if we believe and we pray, that good things are coming. All those prayers on the cross, those prayer requests, we believe, Lord. We believe you heard every single one of them, and yet you're at work. We believe. It is time to believe in ourselves and in others. And it's time to believe that what you said will come to pass. What you said about us is all that matters. We believe. It's time to believe. Lord, seal this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Give a little clap offering. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. We just have a few more shirts. If anybody wants to buy a Hope Community shirt, just see Joe and Flor if you're interested in that. I don't know how many sizes we have left, but if you're interested in that. So Brother Cassiano, would you dismiss us in prayer? Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus.